We're going to continue in our Gospel of John, and I would recommend that you have your Bibles open. That way you can see if I'm preaching correctly. But as Matthew read John chapter 1, we're going to pick up at verse 19. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we were told of the main purpose of John's Gospel. He says that these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. Today we're going to look at John the Baptist as the forerunner to the Messiah. And I've titled my message today, "Who Do You Think You Are?" And have you ever been asked that question before? Sometimes possibly more in an accusational way. Who do you think you are? You've got no right to tell me dot, dot, dot. Maybe you've had the case of mistaken identity. Someone has come up to you and asked, "Well, what's your name?" It's been great to be in a new area, a new town, because people I find come up to me and say, "Hey, don't I know you?" And I'll be like, "Well, over the last 7 years, I've been living in North Carolina." But our big idea today is that you and I, we have a testimony for Jesus. You and I, we have a testimony for Jesus. And so we are to go and tell. Today, we're going to see the religious elite coming out of the woodwork and ask the question of John the Baptist, "Who do you think you are?" My first point today is that of the testimony of John. Verse 19, it says, "Now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, 'Who are you?' This is the testimony of John the Baptist," not the author of the gospel. John, the actual author, doesn't refer to himself except in the fact that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. John the Baptist is the man sent by God, as we saw back in verse 6 of chapter 1. Strangely enough, the gospel just doesn't call him John the Baptist, he just calls him John. And we're introduced to him briefly, as we said, in verse 6, and also in verse 15. "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He bore witness." And you and I, we also have a duty to witness as well. John MacArthur says that while John the Baptist was the agent of belief, Jesus Christ is the object of belief. Although John's person and ministry were vitally important, he was merely the forerunner who announced the coming of the Messiah. Many years after John's ministry and death, some still failed to understand John's subordinate role to Jesus. We actually see later in the book of Acts. Actually, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn there to Acts 19. And spoiler alert, John the Baptist dies, and so does Jesus. But Acts 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts 19, verses 1 through 6 says, "It happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples." Verse 2 says, "He said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They said to him, We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' He said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Verse 4, Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. Paul asks, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, just to be clear, all Christians receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you believe at salvation. At salvation, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins, and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. These guys, they're not yet saved. They're almost saved. And I wonder how many people in this room are almost saved. They were so close. Maybe you've even repented of your sins, but have you fully trusted Christ? Are you living in obedience? As Paul would say, on the day of Pentecost, we are to repent, we're to churn, we're to agree with God about our sins, and we're to let everyone be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and then we shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, church, let me be crystal clear. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. It is a command for every believer. It is an ordinance, not a sacrament. It is a pledge of a good conscience towards God. It represents a death and a resurrected life unto Jesus. And if you haven't gone through believer's baptism, I would encourage you to come and sit down and let's talk about how to be obedient to Christ. Back to John. John the Baptist is known as the last of the Old Testament prophets and the first of the New Testament preachers. Jesus said to John the Baptist, he was the greatest man that had ever lived up until that point. And that's a pretty good thing to put on your resume. The greatest man who ever lived up until his time. Matthew 11:11. John's mission was unique, it was special, and it was of great importance. However, if we are partakers of the kingdom of heaven, we have a greater privilege than that of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he shows up on the scene and he starts to preach. He preaches that the Messiah is coming. A deliverer will come. God's going to make all things right. And the Jewish people, they haven't heard from God in over 400 years. So they're excited. And hope is here. Hope is a powerful thing. We're told in Romans 5 that hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. What are the three things in 1 Corinthians 13? Faith, hope, and love, right? But the greatest of these is love. When we have hope, when we have living hope, hope in the truth that God's word is true and that it has power. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Later in verse 13 in 1 Peter, we're told, hope fully in the grace that is coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the confidence that when Jesus comes, that the believers have complete confidence, fully blessed assurance that God is going to do good for us. He is our living hope. John the Baptist preaches a gospel of hope, but also of one of repentance. John the Baptist is popular. People go out to the desert to even hear him preach. No air conditioning, no heat, no padded pews. And we all think we have it rough when we don't have flavored creamer for the coffee. Which we're out, by the way. Who gets the creamer? We're out of the flavored creamer right now. John tells the people to repent. And they say, okay, hey, we repent. And then John says, well, if you're truly repentive, you need to be baptized. To be cleansed by God on the inside, you show it by doing something on the outside. Demonstrate your repentance by a public act of baptism, an external sign of a desire for an internal cleaning and change. Baptism is a testimony to tell others what Christ has done for you. We see the testimony of John in verse 19. He says three quick things. Verse 20, John is not the Christ. He is not the Messiah. And John voluntarily confesses twice. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked John the Baptist, who are you? Who do you think you are? His response, hey guys, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the guy that you're looking for. We're told in the Gospel of Luke that John the Baptist's dad's name was Zechariah. He was a priest from the division of Abijah, a group of priests that helped serve at the temples during major festivals throughout the year, like Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. And Zechariah had a wife by the name of Elizabeth, who was also from the lineage of Aaron. So we see that John the Baptist, he's got a good reputation. He's got a good heritage. He's coming from a priestly line. Luke 1:6 says that both John the Baptist's parents were righteous before God. They walked blameless in all the commandments and the statutes of the Lord. But Elizabeth was barren, and both were well advanced in their years. Now, please note, their barrenness had nothing to do with any personal sin. The word says that they were blameless, not sinless, but blameless before God. And God had a divine sovereign plan to give them a child at the right time. Nonetheless, John the Baptist's birth was a miraculous one. It wasn't immaculate like Jesus, but it was miraculous. John the Baptist was proclaimed to be great before the Lord and would be filled with the Holy Spirit and will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And all of this you can read about in Luke chapter 1. So those that knew of John's birth and lineage could have thought quite possibly that John could have been the Christ, the Messiah, the one that they were looking for. But as John the Baptist starts his ministry, he lets down a big downer. I'm not the Messiah. So the Jews, they ask, since you're not the Messiah, are you Elijah? Like, how would they know? He's wearing clothes made out of camel's hair. He's got a leather belt, and he eats bugs and honey. He probably doesn't smell that good. But hey, if you're not the Messiah, are you Elijah? John says, no, I'm not Elijah. Keep guessing. Like he's toying with them. I love that in the scripture. He's like, nope, not Elijah. Why do they ask if John the Baptist is Elijah? Well, an Old Testament prophecy in the last book of Malachi, chapter 3, says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Which sounds a lot like John's testimony. Malachi 4:5, it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and the awesome day of the Lord. Now, Jesus will tell us that John the Baptist's ministry was the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. Jesus says, if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. Matthew 11, 13 and 14 and Mark 1, 17 tells us that Gabriel says to John the Baptist's parents that he will have the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Five insights or five reasons why they may have thought that John the Baptist was Elijah. First was God had predicted John's work to be like that of Elijah's. Luke 1:17. Second, he dressed like Elijah. Third, like Elijah, John the Baptist preached in the wilderness. Fourth, both men preached a message of repentance. And fifth, both men withstood kings and had high-profile enemies. However, John the Baptist was not Elijah reincarnated. Elijah will come with Moses and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. I think he could also be one of the two witnesses mentioned in Revelation 11. You're going to have to decide that for yourself. But John the Baptist was not the Messiah. He's not Elijah. And he's also not the prophet. Who is the prophet? Well, Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything that I command. Peter picks up on this in Acts 3:21. He says, heaven must take him, Jesus, until the time comes for the restoration of all things which God announced long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must listen to him in everything he tells you. Everyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from his people. Have you ever wondered why Jesus is called prophet, priest, and king? Jesus fulfills all three main offices spoken of in the Old Testament. John the Baptist was not the prophet. And you know it's good to know what our roles are. Whether they're roles in a relationship. If you're a husband, you're to be the leader. You're to be the provider. You're to be the protector. You're to be the man of the house. You're to be the priestly representation of God to your family. Wives, you're to love your husbands. You're to accept him. You're to pray for him. You're to build him up. We all have roles. We have roles in God's family. We have roles in society. I love playing sports. Well, I used to love playing sports. I played football, big surprise, right? And now I'm not a wide receiver or a defensive back. That's not a good role for a big guy to have. I was a lineman. I only had to run a maximum of 10 yards at a time. I can do that. Short, intermediate sprints. Have you ever tried to see kids, young kids, like elementary kids, play soccer on their first game? They all just run for the ball, right? We need to know what our roles are. You need to have some kids that play offense, and you need to have some kids play defense, and they need to learn how to pass the ball around. Everyone needs to know their position and their role. John the Baptist knew what his role was. John had to prepare the way for the Lord. He was sent to prepare. He had two key roles. The first one was that he introduces the Savior, verses 27 and 31. He says, it is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. John says in verse 27, I'm not worthy to untie his shoe. I'm not worthy enough to be the lowest slave, the one that unties the master's shoes and washes the stinky feet. John the Baptist's humility is so desirable. He's not even worthy enough to clean the bathroom or to take out the trash. He's unworthy. And you and I, apart from Christ, are also unworthy. We're not worthy of the glories of heaven, not even close. In fact, the Bible says that our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. We don't have any righteousness outside of Christ. And instead of focusing his attention on himself, John the Baptist, he focuses it on Jesus. He says, I'm not worthy. What great humility. There's a lesson that we can learn from John the Baptist. I'm not even worthy to untie the man's sandals. The greatest among men is unworthy. And you and I are not worthy enough, but God. John will bear witness to the Savior by proclaiming Jesus' preexistence. Even though John is 6 months older in birth than Jesus, Jesus was before John ever was. And Jesus proclaims that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The gospel writer, he gives us this imagery that we saw in the Old Testament that Jews would sacrifice a lamb at Passover. They would place their hands on that lamb and accept its death as theirs. And God would accept their act of faith and pass over their sins. Originally performed in Egypt, the Israelites, they were slaves. They were to take a spotless lamb, and they were to place the blood on their doorposts, and the angel of death would pass over their homes marked by the blood of the lamb. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He was slaughtered to take away the sins of the world. In Hebrews 10:4, we're told that it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. But Jesus sacrificed himself. He paid our sin penalty, and we're to accept it by faith. As believers, we're to be circumcised of the heart. We're to trust and have his life, his perfect substitution applied to our accounts. Great verse. It says, for God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. John introduces Jesus as the Savior, but secondly, he also baptizes the Savior. Verses 32 through 34, it says, John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Now, we are not told directly in the Gospel of John that Jesus was baptized, but we see it in the three other Gospels. We see this great conversation in Matthew's gospel where John again is so humble. John the Baptist says to Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. And yet you come to me. And Jesus says, let it be so now, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus gets baptized to endorse John's ministry and to start his own. Jesus gets baptized so that we can see this wonderful picture of the Trinity, where we see the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. And then those who are present hear the voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Jesus submits to John's baptism of repentance to identify with Israel's sin, foreshadowing the judgment that will come when he has to endure the cross. But Jesus had no sin. He didn't need to repent because he had none. He was the spotless lamb. Some closing thoughts. What's your testimony? What is your testimony of who Jesus is? Because all of us have a story. All of us have something to say. All of us have a role. Someone else can be encouraged by how God helped you through a certain time in your life. Be a testimony for Christ. Who are you saying that Jesus is? Who do you think you are? Do you have the right motives? Are you fulfilling God's call and purpose for your life? Are you crying? Maybe you're crying in the wilderness. Maybe you're in a spiritual wilderness and you feel that no one listens, no one hears. God knows your pain. He hears and he sees your tears. Whatever you're walking into, God has already stepped into it. He's preparing you for something. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance beforehand that we should walk in them. Finally, be a voice. Be a voice. Be an advocate for those that do not have a voice. Help out with Right to Life. Help out with the local pregnancy center. Help out with CEF, which we're going to have on Tuesday night. We're going to have a training class here from 3:30 to 5 o'clock to learn how to go through the wordless book, how to share Christ with someone. Be like John the Baptist. Point others to Jesus. God's works do not produce salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. It's God's work and his gift, but he makes us alive in him because we were dead in our trespasses and sin. He makes us alive so we can do his work. Each one of us has something that God has prepared for us to do. Deuteronomy 3:1 says, the Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. God doesn't ask you to figure out everything by yourself. He's willing and he's able to listen and to offer help, but we have to trust him. Jesus is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He wants us to know that he is rich in grace and in mercy. And when we have confessed him as Lord and Savior, we're no longer living under the control of the devil. We've been transformed into his glorious kingdom, and we're children of light, not of darkness. Jesus was greater than John the Baptist. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than Elijah. We're to be faithful and we're to be obedient to God's call. The only solution, the only hope for this world is Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And we're to confront darkness. We're to confront darkness with the truth. We're not to be a Christian in name only. Do the works of God. Be an evangelist. Fulfill your call that God has placed on your life. Jesus is the Word of God. John 1:1. He does not simply speak the Word of God as a mere human prophet, but He is Himself the Word made flesh. John 1:14. He is the final Word, the ultimate revelation of God. We're going to see in the upcoming weeks that the message of the gospel is threefold. It's come and see, go and tell, and come and die. But these things are written so that you may believe, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh, dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Gospel of John. Thank you that we have it in plain English to read and to understand. Lord, help us to apply this to our lives. Help us, Lord, to be a witness for you, to be a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Father, help us to know that you are making things happen in our life to glorify your name. In your timing, O Lord, O come quickly. Help us to know that you're coming soon and that you are making all things new. Help us to know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Lord, I ask that if there is someone here today, if they haven't trusted you fully, if they haven't confessed you as Lord, that today would be a new day. Lord, that you would give the gift of salvation. Father, for those that do believe, create in us a desire to serve you. Help us to be ambassadors for Christ. Lord, help us to be a good witness to others. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.